Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
I'm really touched to be introducing Erica. So Erica and I met in about March, April this year on the Embodiment Circles program. And I have been privileged enough to witness her work firsthand and found it incredibly useful. And I've also had the opportunity to witness the other women going through the work with us make huge changes. So I know that this is going to be an incredibly powerful session. A little bit about Erica. She has a background in human rights. She was a frontline social worker and community organizer for over a decade, and some of her work informed government policy in the UK. She's worked with deprived communities in the UK and in India, and has trained with some of the biggest names in embodiment, including Mark Walsh, who some of you saw earlier, Dylan Newcombe, Rachel Blackman, Paul Linden, who we all love and adore, and has had a decade-long Buddhist practice and is currently practicing to be training to be ordained. She now works to help women overcome niceness and live more potent lives. And I am very, very happy to be handing the floor to you, Erica, for this session.
Oh, thanks so much, Kat, and welcome everyone. It's really wonderful to be here and to have the opportunity to share this work that I care so much about with you all. I'm gonna talk for hopefully only about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then I'm gonna lead an embodied exercise, which will hopefully give you the opportunity to explore how niceness shows up in your body. How do you do niceness? And begin to discover maybe a different way of being. And then hopefully at the end, there'll be time for some reflections and some question and answers. And I'll just say it now in case I forget when we're sort of into the flow that so consent is really important in any embodiment practice, but it's particularly important when working with nice women. So as nice women, our bodies and our systems are set up to follow rules, to do what we're told, to be good. So it's super, super important and a really key part of the work.
I don't want to interrupt you, but a couple of people are having a little issue hearing. So if you can you speak a little bit louder? And those people who are struggling, if you can turn your volume up on your systems, we should be able to get to a place where we can all hear. Let's try again.
Yeah, great. So is that better? Yeah? Okay. I'll take up more space. That's the theme. Okay. So, so consent. So super important, particularly when working with nice women. So everything that I'm going to offer and suggest that we do today is an invitation, and I really want you to trust yourselves that you know what's best for your body. So come as deeply into the practice as feels right for you today. You can always do it another day. You can always replay it. So I trust you to know that. Trust yourselves. So I really feel like maybe I should start this session by kind of saying like, hi, my name is Erica and I am a recovering nice woman. And as such, taking up this space on this conference, this amazing conference, has not been straightforward or easy for me. All week, my nervous system has been kind of really kicking off, jittery, I've lost my appetite. I have had thoughts asking, like, do you even know what you're talking about? And now I kind of, I know that that's kind of old conditioning. It's old conditioning in my body from previous generations and from my own history, which tells me to be big is not safe. To be powerful is dangerous. And what all these kind of nervous system responses were was like me reaching the edge of where it is that I'm allowed to exist in the world. How, this is as big as I'm allowed to be. And before I would have really believed those doubts, those questioning voices, I would have really bought into them. But now that I've been doing this work for so long with women and niceness, I recognize that I'm not alone, that it's not a truth about me, that this isn't true. It's the same conditioning that brings clients to me knowingly earning two pay grades below what they should because they feel like asking for a pay rise that they're rightfully due is rude. Or it brings a woman to me knowingly having had a number of sexual encounters that she didn't really want, and she knew that, but she didn't feel able to say no. Or like the best executive coach that I know, who's amazing in her field, but still shrinks and goes quiet when confident young men speak over her in meetings. So it's the same shared conditioning that says big isn't an option, so small has to be the response. Or in power, coming into our own power isn't an option. Nice is how we've learned to survive. It's the message that to stay small is to stay safe. But I don't want to be just safe anymore. I want to be free. And I want us all to be free. I want to be free to show up just as I am. I want to be free to be spontaneous and joyful and not filter. I want to be free to think and share what I really truly feel without worrying about how it's going to be received. I want to be free to create an influence without seeking approval. So then I had no choice but to show up and to show up in the midst of a nervous system that's still sort of recalibrating itself, to show up imperfectly, but to really trust in my enoughness.
Yeah. A few people who are still struggling to hear, so we just want to try and fix that. Some people can hear you totally fine, and I want everyone to hear you. So either can you speak more loudly? Is that a possibility without straining yourself? Or on the button next to mute, the little up arrow, is there a way that you could increase under the audio settings your input volume to your microphone?
So am I going to built-in microphone?
You go to the little up arrow next to mute and then go to audio settings.
Yeah.
Thanks for your patience, guys. We did test this before, it was okay, but we're testing it again. And then under microphone, can you move the input volume button? Okay.
That's at its highest.
Okay, great. So then a little more volume from you, if that's okay, if that's possible. Thank you. Thanks for the feedback, everyone. That's helpful.
Okay, so I guess this is really the test of showing up. This is, I'll make myself as big as I can, including in my voice. Gosh, sometimes you invite things in, don't you? So, I had no choice but to show up with my nervous system doing this thing and trust in my enoughness. And I think that's really the invitation of the work that I do is, wanting to help women return to their own enoughness, to the place inside of us all that is untouched by this conditioning, by this trauma, and to let that enoughness germinate and grow big and to produce fruit because I think the fruit that grows from that soil, from that seed, is the medicine that we are meant to be contributing to the world. That's our medicinal herb. And like, God, the world is in need of our medicinal herbs. Yeah. Yeah. So when I told a friend today that I was going to share my struggles with you, they said, oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you'll be showing up with enough authority. And I don't agree. I think female leadership is going to have to look a bit like this. I think it's a shared struggle. It's such a shared struggle. And I think we need to create a space in which our sisters can grow big, can take up their space before they are ready. We are never ready for this moment. And we can do it imperfectly and it can be a bit messy. And one of the things that comes up a lot in my workshops is the question about role models and women asking, how do we do this? Where are the women that are showing the way of how to be strong and kind, how to be big-hearted and boundaried? And there aren't that many at immediate glance. And I think the invitation there is, God, we just have to become them. Yeah, we just have to become them. Yeah. Okay, so that starts us somewhere, and at least it starts us somewhere honest. And today for me, this is a big stretch. Yeah, this is a big moment of bravery, but our lives aren't like that. A day like this doesn't happen very often. Most of the time, the battleground of niceness is fought in small moments of great courage, like everyday moments where we choose to shrink or to not shrink, to speak up or not. And those moments are really frightening and scary for a woman that's learned to cope through niceness. So I'd really love kind of at this point to hear from you about how does this struggle show up in your life? Where are there moments where you struggle with being too nice? What does that mean for you? Yeah. And Kat, if you could read those out, that would be really great. Save me, so I won't read the chat. You could just read some of the things that people share.
Sure. I want to read all the love that's coming through and the appreciation.
I'll read that later. Yeah.
But I will, I'll save that for you. So avoiding conflict. People are reflecting a lot on the issue of female leaders that you raised. In relationships, listening to others' needs over my own, says Merav. With my boyfriend, being clear about my needs. Clients and employer asking me to help with things that are not part of my job. Hardness and loudness is not what leadership feels like to me. I switch off to that. Brené Brown talks about courageous vulnerability. This is an action. A lot of losses, a lot of costs.
Yes, yeah. A lot of grief in this work. I'm not going to touch so much on that today, but there's a lot of grief in this work.
Yeah, Susan says, not even knowing what I like and dislike because I follow everyone else. Yeah. Sorry, the way that Erica can explain the wave. No boundaries, I do not matter. Pleasing everyone, Juliana says, pleasing everyone. Joe says, no voice or cannot say no.
Great. I'm going to interrupt just because but keep them coming in. And yeah, the wave thing. So in the work that I do, the courses that I lead, when a woman says something, we often just raise our hand in solidarity when we recognize it in ourselves. So you can just imagine, like, across the world right now, there are lots of hands raising in solidarity because all the things that just came up, I've heard so many times before. So yeah, just a real, sometimes I think there's this real idea that we're alone and we're not. Yeah. So I'm just going to share some slides with you. Has that gone full? Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, so don't get too caught up on this. This is just a sort of a way in which I found useful to kind of picture what's going on when we're doing niceness. Like, what is it? that's going on. And yeah, don't get too caught up. It's just get the feel for it. I found this kind of helpful just in my own life as a kind of picture. Yeah. And niceness will show up differently. So it will show up for different people in different ways. We all have our own ways in which we're too nice. And it's relational and it's contextual. So there might be some areas in your life where you feel very confident and very able to speak up and hold your own. And then there might be areas in your life where you feel less able to. So it's not like a blanket thing. And also we all have different experiences of access to power, access to our own power. So I'm a woman and I come from a social, economically deprived background and a kind of stigmatized community. So in certain areas, I've really lost access to my power. But on the other hand, I'm white, I'm cisgendered, I'm heterosexual. And in other so in other circumstances, I've got more access than others to power. So I guess this is a snapshot of what's going on in a much bigger dance. Yeah, so just to say that. Okay, so let's just have a look at some of the principles, I think, that are at play and how it shows up in an embodied way. I'm just gonna take a pause because I'm speeding up. Okay. So if you imagine in a really simple way, we've got these four movement possibilities: forward into other, back into self, up into action, and down into kind of feeling and sensing. This is Dylan Newcombe's work, if you have done any of the sessions with him. And in a healthy system, without kind of trauma or anything, we move between these states quite easily. They're quite in balance. But what I think happens, what happens with women who are too nice is at some point, we've inherited this conditioning that tells us big, powerful is not okay, is dangerous. So we've got that in our systems. And then things happen in our own lives where we might have tried to act on our own will, our own impetus. We might have tried to assert ourselves and it's been squashed and it's been punished. And maybe even at times it was dangerous. So then we learn not to do that, and we shrink. And we lose access to a way of being. We lose access to that power, to that assertiveness. It sort of gets pushed into our unconscious and we're not able to call on it. And that's also a really potent message to our kind of being that it's not okay to be us and to be in the world. Like that power, energy, that's our life force. That was us showing up authentically as we were and it wasn't okay. So then we internalize this sense of, I'm not okay, I'm not good enough. And then I often see women then going out and doing and being in action in the world from a certain place of trying to prove one's worth, like to prove one's value, and to sort of hustle for to be good enough. You know, I only had to save the world as a social worker in order to be worthy of my place on this earth. Yeah. Okay, so we've lost this access to our agency and our own power, but we still have needs and we still need to get those met. And so the strategy that nice women have chosen and developed is to get those needs met through our relationships with others. So if I keep this other person happy, then I get my sense of safety, my security, because we've been denied the access to kind of provide that for ourselves. So if I keep this other person happy, I get that met. But the thing is, the behavior range and the behaviors that keep the other person happy are narrow and changing regularly and unpredictable. And so we learn to do the thing they want us to do. And so we learn to please and appease and change who we are in order to seek this approval, seek this belonging. In doing so, we have to override our own sense of our own intuition, our own inner knowing, our own connection to who we really are, yeah? And so then we've lost that access to that part of ourselves too. So the image I have of women who are too nice is sort of like this. So our inner world, our inner sense of ourselves gets very shrunk and small. The like space in which I am allowed to occupy and be gets reduced. And our sense of ourselves out in the world becomes very enlarged. So there's sort of small self in a large world. And then we've built our identities around those relationships, yeah? So we don't have a strong sense of who we are, but we have a really strong sense of who we are in relationship to other and in relationship to our work and to roles and various other external things. The thing then is we are reliant upon those things, upon those external situations and relationships. And the any sense of a fracture in the relationship or a an ending or a possible friction is very scary because it feels like death. Yeah, the relationship threatens who we are. And therefore we can't speak up or show ourselves or challenge or question because other people's approval, other people's validation is so critical. Keeping the relationship stable becomes the most important thing. So that's really, I think, a lot of the losses that someone spoke to earlier is we've lost a lot of ourselves in this process. Yeah. And we've sacrificed a lot in order to keep other people happy. We've done things we weren't congruent with our deeper selves. Yeah. Yeah. I often work with myth and imagery because I think we are poetic beings. And one of the images I have of this work is of an heir to a queendom, an heir to a territory who has fled and has been appeasing the other land barons to keep the peace. And this work is her return journey, like her returning to her own territory and taking up her rightful place on the throne and then coming back and meeting those other land barons as an equal. So in my opinion, and in my work, I think there are two phases to working with niceness. And the first phase is to begin to really come back to a sense of ourselves, to really begin to enlarge this inner space, this inner being. And we do that by returning to the ground of ourselves. So this is the sphere of deep listening, of aloneness, of pleasure practice, finding what brings us joy, what lights us up, what like learning the sensations of our own body again, re-inhabiting ourselves. Rest and just being, not doing, just being in the world. And then we don't want to get stuck here. So I sometimes see women do this work and we get a bit stuck here. This was my experience. We get a bit stuck here. So we then also need to learn how to come into action, how to take activation in the system and for that to be okay and to calibrate around that. And this is coming back into our sense of authority and yang. And this involves learning to really come back into a sense of our own power and our own agency. So we do that through pushing, through pulling, through lifting heavy weights, through strong Iyengar yoga, you know, where you can really feel your physicality, where you can really feel that sense of yourself. This would be a great space where we take up martial arts. I took up karate for a couple of years to really work on this, yeah? This sense of I have power. And what the image I have is that we're moving the body in a certain way, that we're creating a gateway for all that those parts of ourselves that got pushed into the unconscious to come back in and to fill us up, to re-inhabit these lost parts. And what I find is as we do that, then kind of naturally, the relational aspect of it begins to come in, to take it, we become more balanced, yeah? I mean, we're all probably gonna still always be very lovely women, but there's choice now. There's the choice to move between the behavioral ranges, yeah? Yeah, I think that's it. Okay. So there are three key reframes that I find really helpful for women who are starting to work with this. I could say a lot more about them, but I really want to get to the embodied practice. So I'll put these in the Facebook group and elucidate a bit more on them. But for now, making the distinction between niceness and kindness. So niceness being what we've all just outlined, that kind of unconscious coping strategy of appeasing and pleasing others, versus kindness, which is me being a separate being and knowing my value and knowing my worth, meeting you in your value and your worth as a separate being and deciding how I'm going to interact with you. Yeah, so free of the old conditioning as much as we can be. And so that's kindness, when there's choice. You know, I can't give you something if I don't have the option not to give it to you. Yeah. So niceness and kindness also, because it's not nice, it's not kind to you, because it's based on this idea that the other person is more important than you. And that also means that you're interacting with them with a kind of skewed interest. You're reliant upon them, which means you can't allow them to be free to make their own decisions, their own choices, without having some sort of vested interest in that. It's also not kind because in a subtle way, we're lying and kind of manipulating the other person. Not consciously, but because we're driven by this fear of not wanting to break the relationship, we are not speaking up. We're not saying what's true. We're not honoring what's right for us in the moment. And so that person's then not getting a full experience of who we really are. And they're missing out, you know, they're missing out on the truth of us and all that we're bringing. Second one, power is not bad. So because we had an experience early on when we tried to exert our power, when we acted on our will and were told it was bad and potentially punished, obviously we've got the idea that power is bad. And then when we see it in other people, we immediately assume the same. But actually, power isn't any worse or better than passivity. They're both choices on a behavioral range. And it's about making the most beneficial choice in any moment. But power, in the way that I see it and refer to it, is like, it's your ability to affect change in the world. It's your ability to act on an inner impulse that tells you what you want and to go after it. It's your ability to stand up for your ideals, yeah? Classic Paul Lynden, power without love is brutality. That's true. But love without power is insubstantial. You can have all the grand ideas you like. You can be this open-hearted, spreading your love to the four corners of the universe. But if you can't stand up for those ideals, if you can't act on them, if you can't advance them, then it's just mere sentiment. Yeah. And power is not bad. Also, our power, our anger and aggression is because it gets pushed into the shadow of us, not consciously in our control. It's still there. It's still there. And the frustration of all of this, the frustration of not being able to say what we want, the frustration of being walked over or giving in, builds up. And it's like we let people take and they take and they take. And at a certain point, we're going to take that back. And sometimes that can be very unpredictable because we don't have conscious control over how we're directing that power. And so it comes out, it explodes. It can be violent even. I know in my own life, I've inflicted great harm on other people because I haven't been able to access that power soon enough, early enough to act appropriately. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I think there's nothing more scary than a nice woman who's snapped. Yeah. And finally, we do niceness in the body. So it is not an innate part of who you are. It's a coping strategy. It's something we've learned to do. And because of the experiences we've had, our bodies have been shaped in such a way that it only allows us to access a certain range of behavior. Yeah. And we can change that. If you can do niceness in the body, you can do something different. And it wasn't really, you know, I've worked in female empowerment in one form or another for my whole career, but it wasn't really until I discovered this kind of the embodied approach that I really saw changes. I really saw, gosh, you can read all the books that you like. You can say all the affirmations, do the meditations, but until you change it in your body, you can't, your nervous system, these old messages will not allow you to do something different. Okay. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to see how you're doing niceness in your body. I'll just shut this down. I invite you to take this moment to stretch. That's been a lot of talking. Don't worry about taking it all in. Just trusting that what's landed has landed and having a bit of a move and a bit of a shake. Okay. So what would be really great for this exercise is if you had a chair, if you're sitting on a chair, but halfway through, we're going to kind of stand up. So a chair in which you, from which you can stand up. If you can't, that's fine. You can do this exercise seated. You can do it standing the whole time. Yeah. And again, just to repeat that this is, everything here is an invitation. So everything, yeah, just again, what I said at the start, trust yourself with this. Okay. So bring to mind a situation in which you're being too nice, a real life situation, one that's not so activating that you're going to get caught up in it too much, but one that is enough that you can feel that you're doing it. So a moment where you said yes when you meant no, or a moment where you let someone push in front of you, something that has enough where you've got a response. That's, yeah. And bringing that to mind, and bringing it to mind as vividly as you can. And noticing what happens in your body as you bring that to mind. Is there a movement? Are you leaning forwards? Are you going out into other, into kind of service? Are you collapsing? What direction would this be? Where's the tension in your body? Are you shrinking down, closing in? What's your breath doing? And you could exaggerate that a bit to really get a sense of it. The body learns through contrast and exaggeration. So you could, exaggerate it a little bit to really get a sense of it. Where's your gaze? So you're doing this niceness. And from here, consciously making the choice to let it go. You could even say, letting go of niceness. And I invite you to begin to move the body back in space. So moving back out of other and towards you. And we're gently drawing the awareness in towards you, towards the body. And the quality of awareness that we want is as though a small animal had just come into your garden. So it's this quality of warm appreciation, of curiosity, not not judgmental, or it's this warm awareness, drawing that in towards the body, lowering the eyes. If it feels comfortable, closing the eyes, if not, taking a soft gaze down, and bringing the awareness in. And you can come as close in as feels comfortable for you today. So if it feels really good to like come right into yourself, do that. If it doesn't feel so good, you could come to a point of kind of holding your awareness, cradling yourself in this awareness. And really, when we approach the body, we are approaching holy ground. You know, this is our whole history. So touching in, and this is the place, resting back, letting go of doing, and just being. This is a place of nourishment. This is an interiority that you're allowed to come back to, where you can rest. You could even put a hand somewhere on your body that feels good to you, and just say hello to the body. Hello, body. And seeing if there's a response. We're just reacquainting ourselves with this part that we've abandoned. When we've popped out and we've people pleased and we've abandoned this real true home. We've tried to find it elsewhere, and it's right here. Sometimes I refer to this place as like the seed of your being. This is the seed of your being. And there's lots going on in the seed before it shoots. Yeah, there's lots of percolating and nourishment happening. But we don't want to get stuck here. And we could be here. This could be somewhere that you are for a day or a week. This could be a whole season of coming back down and in and rest, reacquainting ourselves with this home. And then when the time is right, and we do this in cycles, we need to begin to come into action. Yeah, the seed wants to grow, wants to come up. So I invite you to begin to scoop up this in a, however you are today, however you found yourself to be. We don't abandon this place. We allow that to begin to take up space. So drawing the spine up, elongating the spine, feeling the top crown of the head extending up, allowing how you are to have enough space. You don't have to shrink how you truly are. And then I invite you, if it feels right, to now begin to stand up. And really, and begin to kind of pulse the body, yeah? Feel that connection with the earth, feel the rootedness and the strength of the thighs, and beginning to kind of, this is kind of, we're shooting up. We've got a sense of our, we're coming into action, but we're still back in self. We still haven't crossed the threshold into other. This is the fullness of you taking up your space, yeah? This is self-directed action, but from inner impulse and not external cues. This is what I want in the world. This is what I care about. This is what's important to me, yeah? This is what's present in me, allowing to have space, yeah? You have a right to be. You have a right to be just as you are. Maybe you're tired of shrinking, feeling if there's a bit of fire here. And taking your feet hip width apart, and rising up and imagining the back of your body extending out. You've got your own back, yeah? You've got your own back. And imagine the front of your body expanding out. and side to side, up and down. This is you taking your place in the world. This is you being a stand for yourself and what's important to you. And noticing where you might need this in your life. This is dignity, right? Just seeding the word dignity into your being. What does it mean right now to be as you are, but in your dignity, to allow however you find yourself, jittery, sad, distracted, how can you find dignity in that? Embody that with dignity. And you could pull the shoulder blade, the muscles of the shoulder blades together without popping the front, just having that sense, relaxing the belly. It's okay to be here. And from here, I invite you to take your arms above your head. And we're not turning the hands out towards other, we're still back in self. And this is you, this is so queenly. I find this pose so regal. This is you witnessing yourself in your full power, in your potency. This is you owning however you are, witnessing strength, power, imperfection. This is you showing up, taking your space, good enough. Good enough. And allowing that to percolate through the body, marinate in this enoughness and your own witnessing of that. And you can bring your hands to your sides when they start to tire. And keeping the sense of what you've found in this dignity. I've got a poem I'd like to read. So you standing in your dignity, allowing this poem to touch your being. This, perhaps, is the year to be big. Spruce tree big, cliffside big, big as mesa, big as mountain lake, big as in cosmos, big as in love. Being small has never served me, constricting, contorting, trying to fit into someone else's room, into someone else's shoes, even into my own name. Let this be the year to escape all those little rules with all those little shoulds, all those little cages with their little locks. Time to make of myself a key. Time to lean into immensity. Time to supersize communion. Time to grow beyond the self. Time to open, time to unwall, to do as the universe does, accelerating as it expands, not rushing towards something else, but changing the scale of the space itself. This is the year to be big. So from this space that you found yourself in now, bringing to mind that first situation that we started with, the situation in which you'd found yourself being too nice. And seeing if from this vantage point, there is a different perspective. Has the scale of space itself shifted at all? And is there room for a different response from this place? You and your dignity meeting these other people or this other person in theirs. What's possible here, now? And you might want to have an action that symbolizes that, to complete that. So you might be wanting to set a boundary now. Like, it doesn't have to be aggressive. I set a boundary. It might be that you want to take up some space from this place and their opinion is less significant. It might be that from this place, it's okay to walk away. So finding some way if there has been a shift at all for you, to mark that with a gesture. And in your own time, coming back to the seat for question and answers, reflections. So Kat, you, what would you like? Have you, do you like, yeah.
So we have some questions. We can go to those.
I would really love to hear if that was a shift for someone, or like to hear if there are any reflections actually. And we can do question answers in the Facebook thread later.
Yeah, great. And that was the other option. I was like, well, we can ask people. I can summarize the comments about how people find it. So let's do that.
Thank you.
There's a lot of comments. There's been a constant scrolling of comments through, apart from when you were doing the practice. So you were asking if people felt that there was a shift. So yes, and yes. Lovely, lots of lovelies and thank yous. That was really good. That was empowering. So helpful, thank you. I needed that. Oh, yes. Feel so comfortable and safe in your presence and teaching. Thank you. Mirav said, I hope I'm saying your name right, Mirav, I feel less tired.
Yeah. Oh, to that. When we suppress our power, that is our life force. Another Paul Linden gem is that when that's happened to us, we've been de-existified. So when we're not able to fulfill that sense of power, there's a tiredness that comes from the implicit message that, again, to be small, to be meek, to not have much life force is good. So yeah, so a lot of this work can liberate a lot of energy.
Taz said, beautiful practice. And I read that, I think the word beautiful is really notable here, that as you were saying, this kind of mythical idea of who we are, like, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit to that.
I would love to. I think when doing embodiment work, for me, I think it needs to have three aspects. Four aspects. I think we need to work with the intellect. So we need to rationally understand what we're being asked to do. So I showed you the model. So we get a sense of, okay. Then we obviously need to come into the body and experience it and come into our lived essence of experiencing that. And then I think we need to bring in the imagination and the mythic. I think we are, our consciousness, whatever this thing that inhabits us is an imaginal faculty. And I think we respond to mythic journeys. And I think if we're not engaging in that, we're really missing the bigger picture of what embodiment is. Like, it's so much bigger than healing trauma or changing states or, shifting our behavior. There's something much more bigger going on, than that. And that all of that needs to be held in community. We were never meant to do this work alone.
There's lots of heads shaking in agreement with you. There's a lot of comments. I'm going to flick through some. Stop me if you want to reflect on anything. Very strong practice that sent shivers through me. Lots of good takeaways. Thank you. I never told my daughter to be good and she is a fierce woman, but the world around her doesn't always know how to deal with it. So proud of her for not shrinking and expressing her full self.
I might just speak to that a little bit and say, so I worked with, I have a really strong connection and I work with women in India. So the ex-untouchable Dalit women, and they've converted to Buddhism. And in doing so, they've rejected this idea that they were brought up with and grown up with, that they were polluting, they were less than human. And they've come into a sense of their own worthiness as human beings, and the whole culture has told them differently their whole lives. And then they come to these teachings and they find that dignity in their body. And my God, they are fierce. They are fierce. And although the rest of society doesn't recognize that they're many differently, the way they show up, what they achieve, the way they're transforming their communities, oh, just, we are co-creating all of this. And when we start to show up differently, the world changes. Yeah. We're changing the dynamics. We're changing the scale of the space itself.
A few people are saying they feel like themselves, like they've tapped into feeling a strength of themselves. There's some emotions flowing. There's a few people who have, there's been tears for. It resonated really strongly. You feel more relaxed. I feel like if you do that every morning, it would change your attitude and outlook for the day. Yes, a shift. Blown away. I feel a readiness to take action. Thank you. And anger coming through too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And anger. We're really not taught how to use anger as women. We're really not taught. I remember being so angry and what do I do? I've just got no idea, because it's that channel of using it to bring about change, to affect something, to turn it towards kind of the good we don't have. So then it sort of turns against us in our system. We either lash it out or we turn it against ourselves. So yeah, anger held and expanded around and used as a channel for change, yeah.
I want to reflect this one to you. Sabine said, thank you so much. As an introverted person, I totally admire your courage to be on this conference with so much grace. I mean, you're practicing what you preach, right?
I really am. And Kat can speak to that. This week has not been easy.
We have a few queens in the audience putting their crowns back on. I like that. And Shaya saying, my belly does not ache anymore after this exercise.
Yeah, so lots of, I could speak to, lots of women, you know, we're holding our bodies in such diminished capacities. We're tensing, we've got all this unconscious kind of shrinking going on. So what is that doing to our physicality, a lot of the work turns out to alleviate phantom symptoms and unknown illnesses and such.
There are so many messages. There's a lot of people reflecting on the word dignity being very powerful, the poem being very powerful at the moment that you read it, sacred rage. Taz talks about sacred rage. I can keep going on this forever. and we're going to save the chat definitely, so you have it. I want to ask you if there's anything you want to say to kind of bring the session to a conclusion, and then I can do announcements and come back to you for your last word. I just want to give you a couple of minutes to reflect.
I'm aware we didn't get to questions and answers, so I will pick that up in the Facebook group, the Intimacy Channel Facebook group. Yeah. So we can, if you have questions, you can put them there and I'll try my best to answer them. Yeah. Do the practice every day. Someone said if I did this every day, it would shift things. I'd really love you to take that practice every day. And it's a simple practice, you know. We didn't do really extreme things in this practice for deliberately, because this is something that's really accessible. You could do this in your chair at work, you know. Someone asks, you can check back in, you can come up into your dignity, you can respond. You know, it's a simple thing that you could get into the habit of doing, and you could do it in the mornings. And I'd love to hear, feel free to email me or, with how it shifts things for you. I would really, really love to hear from you. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. We will save the questions from the Q&A. To share with you to come back to in the Facebook group, and Kate is kindly posting the link to the Facebook group, and we'll save the chat, all of the things. I really don't want to stop you, because I think this topic is so important. You said to me, you know, this work is peace work, and that really landed for me. So yeah, it's so important. So I think you should have a whole conference on it, but I'm not in charge of those decisions. I'm going to make some announcements before we come back to Erica for her final top tip on embodiment. While I'm doing this, Erica, I don't know if you might want to just have a little look at the chat and see all the love that's coming through.
I can see it.
So I have forgotten all my, so first of all, massive thank you. Let's give Erica some love and some waves. Massive thank you to Erica for bringing this vital topic. Kate is posting a bunch of links in the chat right now for you to carry on the conversation in the Facebook group for our channel. And also she's posting as many times as possible Erica's website so that you can get in touch with Erica on her Your Right to Be website. As I said at the beginning, this recording is available for 48 hours for free. After that, you can buy it as part of the channel package or the whole conference package. You've probably heard this already. There's a few reasons that you might want to do that. So there's been a lot of content and a lot of speakers. And as Erica was saying, you know, we do this work in the body. So listening to a talk and having a little practice is great, but doing the practice again and again and again is really how it starts to shift things. So if you buy the recordings, then you have the reference materials come back to again and again. I'm referring it to it as like your favorite bookshelf. And every time you take a book out and open up, the author stands in the room with you and explains to you all the content of the book. So if you want to own the most amazing bookshelf in the world, you can buy the packages. After the end of the conference, I think after Monday, the price goes up. It doubles. So now if you're kind of teetering on the edge and you're like, yeah, I think so, now would be a really great time. The other reason that you might want to do it is, and I'm aware I'm speaking to a room of nice women, so you choose. A lot of the people that have, yes, have your boundaries. A lot of the people that have worked on the program have worked on it voluntarily. And so, you know, buying the packages helps us to kind of give them some love too. So yeah, it has been. We're doing it because we care. We want to get this work out into the world. And if you buy the packages, it just helps fund this project and the continuation of future projects. Enough waffling from me. I'm going to come back to Erica to ask you, we're asking all of our presenters, what is your top tip for staying embodied?
To put something up in your house, which you see every day, which reminds you that you're going to die. And when you look at it, to kind of take a moment to check, like, gosh, this body of mine will soon be a cadaver and its embodiment won't be there anymore, yeah? And we have no idea what that is still. The whole word embodiment speaks to a vast mystery. Like it speaks to a vast mystery. What is this animating force that lives through me and you and is in creation? And let that mystery make you big.
Amazing. I knew it would be a profound one. Not just be with your body, nothing that simple. A nice big juicy one from Erica. Thank you for bringing this amazing topic to the conference. I'm looking forward to continuing watching this stuff grow and spread the word, women, to other women you know who are too nice. We all need it. We all need this magic. Thank you so much. Thanks to Erica. Thanks to Tech Kate B in the background doing all the magical wizardry. And thanks to the Embodiment Conference team behind the scenes. See you later on the channel. We have two more sessions coming up. We have our closing session is a panel on, with Erica Chalkley again, on how connecting can change the world. Thank you very much for your time. See you soon. Bye.
Wear your crowns.